2019 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feel. Shut up! The footy's a privilege! It's time.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Time for the Saturday run.
We're ready to go here.
Ahead of your Triple M footy triple header.
For the Ford Ranger, the truck that's best on ground and off it. Work smarter, play harder.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
And this is going to be some final quarter.
Quick hand pass to Maris outside of the boots.
Essendon are in front for the first time tonight.
Jody Smith gets a goal. Through for Brown.
Greenwood to give the Crows a 2-point lead and kicks it.
Jake Stringer steps up to give the Bombers a lead back and he slots it home.
Goal for goal here in the last quarter.
Mitch Brown, 4 goals. Essendon out by 10 points.
Heppel, the skipper, back in the side. Loves it, Dyson Heppel. Zach Merritt runs to open space, kicks it from 70. It'll bounce, Merritt. It'll bounce. Is it going to cross the line? It has! This will be a famous, famous win for a team that was 30 points down halfway through the second term.
Welcome to the Saturday Rub. We are here at the MCG ahead of Richmond and Port Adelaide. Magnificent performance by the Bombers last night. Look, down and out, 5 goals down, Fat.
I know
you were out of Ringwood East and then the Bot and you weren't exactly focused on it, but from that moment on, they were unbelievable. They've won 6 of their last 7. And have a listen to this, just so I can educate you, because right. I know without their old son, you're not across it.
Thank you, Jim.
This is their run home, Essendon.
Yes, please.
They play the Gold Coast next.
Win.
Then Port Adelaide. Then the Western Bulldogs.
Both at home.
Then Fremantle.
Yeah.
And then Collingwood. So
win 4.
4 of their next 5 games, Bill, are against teams that are outside of the 8 as we speak.
And
so they are finals bound, the Bombers.
That takes them to 14 wins.
They won't win 4, maybe, but they need to win 2.
But they're on a roll. They're playing good footy.
Unbelievable. So we are going to have a good look at that, of course, and also what's going on with the Adelaide Footy Club. We're going to hear from one of their directors, of course, in Mark Ricciuto from last night's broadcast. Interesting to hear from him. Rory Sloane's going to join us. Ken Hinckley, Bill one-on-one.
Yes, please.
Former teammate.
Give me Kenny.
Are you going to actually balls up and ask him the proper questions?
You know what I'm going to do, Jim?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to terrorise him.
Oh, yeah. Nice to see you, Fat.
Oh, g'day, Jim. Great to be with you.
Duck back from Adelaide. Second home for you. You would have enjoyed his home last night.
Mate, I didn't get off air. I'll tell you what, I've got a little story.
Well, I need to ask you something, because yeah. I've heard stuff's drifted back. And Damo, nice to see you.
Hello, Jim. And you say that scoreline of Essendon's at 4-6. It could have gone very haywire for them, but they courageously have put themselves back in the mix.
Well done to the Bombers. Now, I got out, not early out of bed this morning.
Where were you last night, Jimmy?
I was watching the footy at home, fire.
With your
beautiful
girl,
glass of red.
With your girlfriend, old lover's ball, just sitting up there.
What I did, though, this morning was just drift. And I looked down at the little app that shows you whether you're getting a text or not, and there were hundreds.
Hundreds?
Hundreds of people out of Adelaide telling me a story that I need to go straight to the source.
Dark.
And that's, of course, the great W. Carey. Is it true that our man, Brian, thank you, Brian, he finishes roaming, Brian, and then exits quicker than you're able to.
Well, much quicker. And because of roaming, Brian, and this has gone too far now, I've got to throw this in as well.
Yes.
I mean, this roaming, Brian thing, it started out being a 5-minute gig.
Yes.
5 minute, maybe blow into 7 or 8
and
minutes.
And it was good 5 minutes.
He's blown it out to 20 or 30 minutes now.
No.
Oh. Another 20 or 30 minute of last night, which then snowballs onto us who
finished late
on air until midnight last night. So
this is what happens Friday night. I've had the great joy of working on a couple of them. You do it every week. What happens is the Roma finishes that segment and already has his gear. And as soon as that segment's finished, he is out. He is exiting the premises.
Right.
So Adelaide, of course, you've got to walk over the walk bridge.
Yes.
The Torrens Lake, as it's actually called. Oh, everyone thinks it's the river. It's actually the Torrens Lake.
Right.
Walk over there, back to the hotel that we all stay at.
Yes.
Which Brian, he doesn't mind a little bit of that because he gets out quick and that bridge is absolutely chockers.
It's roaning.
And roaming Brian walks across there like he's, he owns owns Adelaide.
Like he's walking in Perth
and he has people yelling out, roaming Brian, can we have a photo? And then they love him.
So he gets to the hotel, and this is the bit that I'm getting told about.
Right.
He gets to the hotel and walks in, and suddenly there's entourage, there's security,
cameras.
There's paparazzi.
Oh, no.
There's the whole shooting match in the foyer, and Bristol's like, this is how large I've become. This is how big I've become.
And
they're ready for me.
His timing couldn't be worse because, like I said, I got off at midnight and he's in there and you could just see him.
Oh,
and he's just standing right at the bar. And I just happened to, me and Richo happened to be walking through, and there were a lot of people around. The bar was packed.
Yep.
And Richo and I, who were pretty big over there. We thought we don't want to get caught up in that.
No.
So straight up to our room. But as I'm walking through, I've looked across and there's BT at the bar and there's people everywhere, Bill.
Black suited outfits.
Security.
Everywhere.
Really, like,
you know, Potsy.
Sort of presidential sort of stuff. Presidential sort of stuff.
You, mate.
Anyway, I looked up and BT standing there thinking,
This is how much I've arrived. I get back to the hotel and these people are here for me.
Roaming Brian. I've gone interstate now. Massive.
How big am I?
And anyway, so I thought I'll just have a little bit more of a look. And the more I look, there's a man by the name, well, it's not his name, but he's a rapper.
Yes.
American rapper called Childish Gambino.
Oh, let's hear this. Let's hear some. Here comes the childish one.
Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now.
And BT hasn't noticed him.
No.
Right.
And this Childish Gambino.
It'd be hard not to.
He's standing there with his top off.
Because he's got no top.
His top off. He's got girls around him. Lined up for photos. And when BT realised that they were all there and the security were there for Childish.
For the Childish. They didn't give a shit about Bristol.
He was as flat as a tack. He went straight up to his room.
Oh, come on, Brian.
Childish is there with no shirt on.
He had no shirt on.
Yeah, he had a white coat around him, Bill.
Funny.
But no shirt underneath it.
The security walks straight up and BT's gone, he can tell there's a big crowd around him. He walks straight past. Come on, blow the shirt off. Took him over. Had a roped off area for him. And told BT to move away from him.
Get away. Is it true Brian took his shirt off?
I should have seen his face. And the security sort of ushered him away from the rope. He was too close to the rope.
Come on, Bristol.
Brian would have had a seven jacket on. Imagine a seven jacket.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? And that's the other thing. Most of us, if you do have a couple after a game, you get the early shift, you have a couple. Most of us take the seven badge off.
Yeah.
You know, just so
he loves it. He takes yours. Right.
You might remember this, Damo, because this is back in the day.
Brian.
You know, back when it used to be the Chief and Dermot and all of us doing Triple M footy. He sat on a plane from Sydney, I reckon, with like DJ Flavor Flav or one of them back in the day. And this bloke was trying to have a conversation with Brian.
The more I think about you know how Brian likes to get to the front of the premium?
Always.
Yeah. Always. So now I'm thinking about it. Did you think he just loves the attention?
No doubt.
Do you think
just work that out.
And just sort of noticing him standing there, they go, oh, there's a Brian.
Roaming.
There's a big bristle.
By the way, not here today, our man.
I gathered that. We haven't heard from him.
He's in Alice Springs.
We should get him on the line.
He's in Alice Springs.
I'd like to confirm that about the
Childish Gambino.
To see if that is true, because
but Brian,
no, it's true, Bill. It is true.
True. I've had
eyewitnesses.
It's unbelievable the people coming back. Oh,
come on, bro.
How flat Bristol weren't there for him.
He was flat as a tack.
Who called last night? What was the setup, please?
Well, I was in the Triple M box, Bill, so I didn't hear the setup last night. So we'll have to ask Duck.
Oh well, the best in the business,
who?
Bruce.
Yes, of course, number one,
and BT.
Oh, how was that? How were those two?
Yeah, no, they're okay. And I'll tell you what did come up, the honey nougat conversation.
No. Oh.
Where's that come
from? Well, I let
we spoke about it for an hour last week.
Well, I'll just fill you in quickly.
Yes,
okay,
quickly.
Bruce and I have got something going on. We sometimes I give him a honey nougat.
Oh, very nice.
And he gives me a honey nougat, and BT bit flat.
Oh, no. Just, been left out of
it. Yeah, oh. Why do you and Bruce do it? Right. I don't get one. And
oh, no.
So last night,
we're still talking about this.
Bruce came up and gave me a honey nougat bar. Bruce gave me one.
Yeah.
Well, BT just thought I was giving it to him all the time.
Oh. Yeah. But you ate it.
Yeah, so I had it. Anyway.
Thanks for that
update. And Richo. And we had Richo.
Oh,
and
yes.
His odors on the boundaries.
So no Jim?
No Jim.
No Jim.
No. I do about two a year to help Bruce when he's doing the races.
Where's Hamish? Where's Hammer?
Well, yeah.
Where was Hammer last?
Is there a new pecking order?
Well,
is that what you're trying to get at, Bill?
I just want
he does pre and post.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Where are you heading, Brian?
I want to know, because you're a number two with a rocket.
No.
Yeah.
That is not Jim.
Correct. No, you are, Jim.
That is
you
not well, probably correct. No, that's not.
And soon number one.
Only being serious.
Yeah, pushing Bruce out.
That is not true.
Because
never.
What he's also doing, Bill, too, is he's a demanding space in the Herald Sun.
Brian, we'll get to this next week.
Will we?
Right, he's become the game's oracle.
He's
Brian.
Making predictions he's, about
and I'm going to save footy, and I'm going to... Richmond are already home, and so... We're going to actually corner our man next week.
In a change play. Wasn't that Lethal's idea?
I don't know. We'll get to
and
that
when,
next
and
week.
And when Lethal Britain. Talks, you listen.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
And I saw BT. I go,
oh. Hey, get back to last night, Duck, and the boys. The Bombers, I only saw the second half. I was out till half time. They kick a goal to go 5 goals up. Adelaide, and you think, well, it's them by how far? And you looked at the scoreboard, and it was like 15 scoring shots to 5. So you think, right, oh, well, Adelaide have owned the game. Now they're 5 goals up. It's theirs by whatever the eventual margin was going to be. But from that moment on, Essendon completely dominated the game.
They did. As you said, it was 30 points, and then the Bombers kicked 2 before halftime. So they go into halftime with a little bit of confidence.
Yep.
In saying that, we all thought Adelaide were going to win.
Yep.
They'd come out and they'd just blow them away. A guy by the name of an Irishman, McKenna, he started it all.
Yeah,
he started the whole thing off halfback.
What
he
about just, the dummy?
He just took the game on.
Mm.
He just went, you know what, I don't care.
You made
I'm just going to run. Yeah, I'm just going to take it on. It caused havoc. They were harder.
Yep.
They tackled better. And when I say they tackled better, the Crows, well, they just... broken tackles. So McKenna, like there was a lot of times where they just got through tackles. And then what that allowed was the overlap. They scored a lot of then easy goals in that second half. I think it was 11 or 12 of the last 15 goals kicked. Essendon.
So, Duck, watching on the telly, it's
dominating.
So very hard to read it properly on television.
Yes, it is, Jim.
But the thing that staggered me was the amount of times Essendon were able to exit defensive 50 and two possessions later have a shot on goal.
So
good team set up better than that behind the ball.
Right.
What were Adelaide doing?
Well, just taking the game on. It was. What was Adelaide doing?
To not be able to protect against that happening.
Well, it was the speed in which the Bombers were doing it. They were just throwing the ball around, like I said, just taking it on, taking chances.
Mm.
And then at times Adelaide were their JB, but that broken tackle. Then were through. Okay. So a few really important broken tackles.
Stringer
and a few of those guys.
Shield got through the line.
Yeah,
Merritt had an amazing second half.
They you know what? They were just harder. They wanted it more.
Yeah, they did.
They played a better brand of footy, obviously, especially in that second half. And they, with the amount of injuries that they've got, and we talk about Collingwood, GWS, mm-hmm. I mean, you look at it,
Hurley.
Bill Chambers, Hurley, Fantasia. There's two or three others in that group that are in their top, probably 10 players that are not in. So, I mean, if a couple of those guys will come back. I don't think, I'm not sure about Hurley.
No, it's a worry now for him from a season perspective.
If they were playing finals, maybe, but they're, you know what, they're brave. And the other thing, everyone's talking about Woosha.
Yep.
Yes.
I'll tell you what he did last night, Bill.
I'll tell you what he does. He makes changes.
Now, Big Jenkins was having a good first half. Walker was doing things in the first half. And you know what they did? They said, oh, well, we haven't got Hurley, and they're playing well, but you know what? It doesn't matter. We're going to try and win this game.
Mm.
Hooker, they took Hooker off those guys even though and sent him forward.
And kicked a crucial goal just before halftime.
Exactly right. They made he didn't – Woosha wasn't sitting there thinking, oh, you know, oh, well, Adelaide are on top and these guys are dominating. He thought, you know what? I've just got it. He's just got to go forward because we need to have a better target forward of the footy. And he did that. and that changed the way they went forward with confidence.
Dev Smith is the other one who's
Dev Smith, that's the one.
At 4-6, it was expected to go the wrong way for Essendon, wasn't it? They've regrouped, they've managed to get this season back on track, and to credit fully to John Worsfold for how he's handled himself and his own situation with those injuries, and last night spoke about the consistency that they've been able to get inside that stretch of 6 out of 7.
I think if you look at the way we're playing our footy over the last 6 or 7 weeks, we're seeing more and more consistency. We're still not where we want to be, you know, and we've got a lot of hard work ahead. That's our focus. You know, we don't want to be winning a game at whatever round it is tonight to be just hanging in to be in the eight. So we want to be better than that, and that's what we're going to continue to work on.
Round 18, Whoosh. Hey, what you do like is he does make changes. Because you hear a lot of teams saying, oh, coaches only got plan A. He has got plan B, which was really, really good. I tell you what, they've found one, Adelaide, Riley O'Brien.
Oh, no, he's a beauty.
And he has been unbelievable since he's come on board.
He was dominant. Yeah. 27 disposals he had, Bill.
He had to be, though, didn't he, given that there was no main ruckman in the Bombers lineup.
No, yeah, you're right. He had to be. I mean, McKernan. You know, he was brave. I think Sean had a bit of he had a little bit of the ball himself, but nowhere near. And the other thing, the Bombers. So McDonald, Tip, and Woody played further up the ground, so he got a more ball up. And Stringer started in the middle. He's become. He didn't have massive numbers last night, but he kicked two crucial goals.
Yeah, he did.
Two crucial goals. And the other thing, he's just a ball in and around the centre now, but chasing, tackling. All the team-orientated stuff, he now finally is the real package.
Yeah. Well, for me, Duck, the questions around Adelaide are those. Firstly, how do you allow yourself to be transitioned against that easily? And some of the vision was horrific.
From back half to forward.
Blokes are 30 metres, boundary side of an Adelaide player. That just shouldn't happen. Secondly, they couldn't slow the tempo of the game down at all.
Nope.
And if Essendon play Collingwood, if Essendon play West Coast, they're not allowed to play at that tempo.
No, they tried, and there were moments, there were like 4 minutes here or 3 minutes where they did slow them down. But the Bombers were just hell-bent on saying, you know what, well, you try, we'll just keep taking you on.
Saturday Rub ahead of Richmond, Port Adelaide at the Triple MCG. Beautiful day here in Melbourne. Looking forward to seeing whether the Tigers can continue on this roll as they've got their best players back and what Port Adelaide will bring after a very disappointing performance last week. Ken Hinckley going to go one-on-one with our man, Fat Brownless. Former teammates, of course. So we look forward to how that's going to play out down on the boundary. But last night, speaking of disappointing, the Adelaide Footy Club after halftime demo were nowhere near where they need to be if they're going to be a factor in 2019.
No, correct, Jim. It left them with a 9-8 scoreline. And that point you raise about post-half-time developments at the Crows, it's been a theme all year. It happened in round 10 against West Coast, happened in round 15 against Geelong, round 16 against Port Adelaide, and again last night. Mark Rusciuto, a director of the footy club, was in the Triple M box throughout the call of the game, Jim. Just before the game started, made some observations about the Crows, which you're about to hear. Made some observations again at three-quarter time and then post-match. A pretty stark take on where his team is at.
Well, this is a season-defining moment. This quarter is huge. Adelaide lose this, get rolled on their home deck, and you'd have to feel the heat big time, I think. Can't just do what they've done in the second half for the last few weeks and not face the scrutiny. Oh, just another terrible second half. 12 of the last 15 goals is unacceptable, so they haven't been able to get the job done again. Not much else you can say, really. They'll be calling for blood, there's no doubt about it. And Pikey's stayed very loyal to a number of players, and they need to have a look at the blokes who aren't getting the job done in those second halves and make some changes. When you've got an old side, you got to win.
And that's the interesting part of what Mark Rusciuto said last night. The stuff he said pre-game, you're talking about Damo, was around the age of the list, wasn't it? And the fact that if you're going to go with that sort of setup, then there's an expectation that you must now win.
Yep, and they didn't. And you could just hear in his voice, and as the game wore on, and that last comment you heard then was actually made pre-match about the age of the team, and then the the stark reality of another loss badly in the second half, what it now means for team selection and what it now means for the remainder of this season.
Well, they are still in the eight, by the way, so let's not get too down and out about the Adelaide Footy Club, but that will be concerning for them, and they're one of their captains, and by far the most popular as far as we're concerned, yes, Ian, the Texan. We love Rosa, and he joins us right now. Hello, Rosa.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Now, mate, I guess what happened is the easiest question to ask, because you looked like you had total control of the game, and then in the blink of an eye, that evaporated.
Yeah, and that's it's a question I've been trying to answer, I suppose. In particular, three out of the last four games, which we've had really, really poor second halves. And the most frustrating thing from our half is we play really solid footy in the first half and put ourselves in great positions. And then, for whatever reason, we step away from what's working for us. And last night, our pressure and missed tackles, what I took away, was probably one of the most disappointing halves of football I've seen from a tackling and pressure point of view.
Hey, Rory, it's funny you say that, because it's always easy when we're sitting up in the commentary box, but that's what I noticed. If you're trying to work out how they go from one end to the other, it was missed tackles when, normally if they get laid, then that stops that chain. That slows them down, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're winning plenty of our share of the footy, and we just couldn't retain it in our forward half, and that comes down to the midfield group pressing in, sticking tackles, and our forward line being able to keep the pressure on as well. So both our midfield group and forward line, I reckon, really let our backs down, because once that ball comes through and comes through with speed, it's obviously pretty tough to defend. And I mean, I think the amount of goals they scored from our back half last night was well above what we've ever had.
Rory, lining up those poor performances in three of the past four matches in the second half, with what you just heard there from the director of the footy club, the football director, Mark Grosciutto, do you now as a co-captain expect that there will be, as he has now speculated on, some significant changes in personnel for what's ahead?
Yeah, we've seen some changes throughout our side, I suppose, for a fair bit of the season. And guys who haven't been performing have certainly been left out of the side as well, so and we've had a really healthy list, and I mean, that's been one of our strengths this year, is bringing guys in that are in good form, and I reckon that'd be the case as well. Obviously, there's guys that weren't at the level last night, and our sample team plays today, and there'll be a few young kids and a few boys in that sample side ready to rock and put their hand up for selection, I'm sure.
Rory, when it comes to Eddie Betts, I'm not putting him into that category that should be and could be omitted, because I think he's done enough groundwork to cover that. But are you slightly worried as a team about his lack of impact in these games?
No, not at all. I mean, Eddie's a phenomenal player, and you've seen what he can produce for us this season. And it's a tough gig playing that small forward role. You get the best small defender on you every week, and there's a lot of good small defenders out there, and I mean, it's getting harder and harder we've seen this year, for sides to score goals and score easy goals quickly, and that's because I think defences are getting better as well. But I mean, as I said before, what we need from our forward line, if they're not hitting the scoreboard, and our mids, is because we do all rotate through there, is to make sure we get some pressure on whilst down there.
Talking about those rotations, do you subscribe to the fact that people say it is that outside run? I mean, obviously the Crouch boys, you're different to the Crouch boys, but you're also very much inside. You're trying Miller, Atkins, Smith, who, by the way, last night was very, very good.
Yeah.
You're trying different things in there. And Mark Bickley wrote an article, I think, during the week saying that, you probably just haven't got the right mix at this point.
Yeah, we've tried a few different things. It might take a little bit to get the balance right, but I mean, last night I thought our clearance work was exceptional, and I thought Riley O'Brien stood out in the ruck, and we had some great connection through that part of the ground. And normally when you go 50-28 in clearances, and you get up, and obviously that means sort of time in your forward half, you do normally win games off that. But obviously, again, last night it was our pressure afterwards, and I think those guys coming through, Miller, Smithers in particular, coming through the mid, are giving us a different look, which I really like. And, I mean, that allows myself and Brad Crouch to sort of spend a bit more time forward as well.
Do you talk to the Texan, Rosa, and sit down and think, how are we going to do this? And how's he seeing his form?
Yeah, definitely talk to Tex.
because as I said before, it's happened three out of the last four games. And the first part of the season too, we had games where we actually were the opposite. We were finishing games really strongly. So it's sort of, again, it's really frustrating to try and put your finger on what's going on. But, I'll certainly sit down with Tex and we'll catch up today and sort of give each other our thoughts. And then last night, we were both still pretty angry and frustrated. So sort of sit on it for the night and then reconvene today.
All right. Imagine, Rosa, it's going to be a pretty savage review Monday morning. The transition goals in the second half you've spoken about, good sides just don't allow that to happen. But the other thing is, it didn't look to me like when they wrested control from you halfway through that third term, you weren't able to slow them down at all. And everyone knows how Essendon want to play. I'm sure you would have had a plan going in that if they start getting hold of us, this is how we're going to arrest that tempo at least. But that wasn't able to happen.
No, it wasn't. As I said, the frustrating thing is we did it exactly how we wanted to the first half, and that's what we're going to have to review is why it starts happening again. And I'll put it down, those missed tackles absolutely kill you. When you fumble those ground balls, when it's in your forward half, when you should be going forward, I reckon guys read off that. But, it's not good enough, those easy goals at all, because they absolutely kill you, and it kills your momentum in games as well, and especially when you do the hard work to get it down there and then you can't keep it in there. It's frustrating for those easy goals to come through.
What's the rest of the day holding for you, please?
Mm-hmm. So we'll go watch the Sample Boys today. So they're playing North Adelaide, the Roosters, out at Prospect there. So we'll watch the boys play. Hopefully they dish up a really solid performance and we see some boys, and there's been some boys in cracking form as well. But, I mean, you've got Richie Douglas back there, Andy Otten's performing, Chase Jones, Darcy Fogarty have a crack. So
McHenry?
McHenry.
Yes.
Yep, he might have a run round today. He's been a little sore lately, Ned. So there's a few boys in there that are keen for a crack in the ones, I suppose.
Talking about Richie Douglas, I thought he was out there last night. Yeah. Were you aware of the jumper situation?
Yeah, it happened just before the game. We all had a little chuckle about it. And I think Smithers was keen to get some of Dougie's sort of hardened edged inside. So you saw that from Smitty last night, a bit of inside work from him, which is normally Dougie's forte. So I thought he was one of the highlights for us last night. I thought Smitty, I mean, his run and carry, I thought he was really clean. And as I said before, around the footy and as a mid, he's given us a bit of a different look, which I'm really, really enjoying.
Little surf down at Middleton?
Not much around. And it's just really hard to motivate yourself when it's this cold as well. You have to strap on the wetty and the booties. It's got to be perfect for me to go out at this time of year, Bill.
Beautiful here, mate. I think it's 22 today here in Melbourne.
Yeah, we had that yesterday. I mean, I did get a little wave up on the Gold Coast with my old mate Nathan Bock. It's good to catch up with him while I'm up there. And water was much warmer.
Nice. Hey, thanks for joining us. Big run home now. Five massive games for your club, and we wish you well with him.
Yeah, thanks for having us, lads.
Roy Sloan.
Good on him.
No, a beauty, mate. Yeah. High quality, that young man, and always been great to us on Triple M Footy. We've got Bill not looking anywhere near as sharp, back from Ringwood East. He headed up there.
I got back.
Oh, no.
Joey.
And I heard it was a pretty flat performance from you last night.
Oh, no. Oh, really?
No, I wouldn't.
No good. Well, my sidekick was no good.
They weren't listening to you up on stage. People were talking, not paying attention.
Well, you know what the problem is? There's three pots of Carlton Draft till 7 o'clock.
There you go.
So no one's listening to you. So
you rolled out some of your real ordinary stuff.
Oh, here was your sidekick.
The rubber band got it.
Oh, no. You didn't trot the rubber band out. Well, no wonder they weren't listening.
Jim, twice yesterday.
Well, you had a lunch as well.
Eureka 89. Isn't that nice up there?
Magnificent up there.
Well, they've got a run and they're still on the floor laughing there.
Phil, no one in Melbourne has now not heard that story.
Well, either from him or Tony Shaw.
Yeah, or Matthew Lord has stolen it too.
Yeah, Lord is not that funny at all, as we know. But I know when you start talking about it, and I start talking about, you know, and coaching clinic down there at Geelong and the TAB, you see blokes tapping each other going,
here it is.
Here, heard it. heard this one.
Yeah, they actually start saying it for you.
Because I forget a few bits. They fill in.
It's like that one we did last year out at Rory Sloan's old club.
Yeah, that's it. I played to Coma,
Bill. And Bill started telling the footy story when he's doing the wheel.
Yeah,
and he forgot two bits. And he just said, Jim, Bill, what about the wife of the president?
Purple hair and the dress she'd bought from the hardware store. No, all Jim. The stuff that Fetch.
What? Yes. Jim, don't tell him.
He just completely forgot half of his own story.
Oh, I've got something wrong with me, Jim, as you know.
I know.
I'm on the spectrum.
100% no. There's something completely wrong.
Oh, no.
Did you hear the exclusive during the week?
Yeah, I did.
John from the West.
With the car park.
The car park underneath Optus Stadium. He gets John from the West on his source. Is there a car park under Optus Stadium? Big pause, yes. And then Bill plays his celebrate good times. You know, I told you, Jim, and all the rest.
I told you, Jim, you.
So then I said to John, John, have you ever been to Optus Stadium? No. Have you ever actually been to Western Australia? No.
It's fair to say he let me down.
What?
No, he let me down.
I've told you before, Bull, you've got to check your sources.
Well, exactly. I didn't do that. I wasn't that thorough.
No,
he agreed with me, I think, at the bot one night. I said, give me a number, I'm going to ring you.
Speaking of sources, let's get to a bit of what's going on in the coaching world. Damo, Michael Voss, quite rightly, I'm an unabashed Michael Voss fan as a person and obviously an unbelievable footballer, and I'm glad to hear that he's getting back involved in these coaching job discussions.
Yeah, and that happened during the week with Carlton. We'd known about it for some time that they were going to give him a chance to present, and it's a very preliminary stage of presentation the way the Blues are going about it right now, but he got a chance during the week. And what has happened, though, Jim, on Friday morning, David Koch on Sunrise program had a real issue with him presenting on Port Adelaide time. So he's blown this issue up. There's no other issue from the people who run the football department at the power. They're all in on it. They're all okay with him going. But the president or the chairman of the footy club wasn't, David Koch.
You know, people go for better jobs. That's great, but do it at the end of the season. Focus on the job at hand. We're paying you at the moment. Do your job. Mm. Yes, show your interest. But
there's a warning.
Get a focus. We've got a game to focus on tomorrow. Let's focus.
What do you make of that, Doc?
In fairness, and I saw it on Twitter. He had a smile on his face and he was being, you know, he loves his footy club. He wants him to focus on his job. And so a little bit of truth in jest.
No, I think
he was making a point, but he was laughing.
But Vossi got the blessing of Ken Hinckley.
Yeah, of course.
And he didn't miss a training session over there. So I didn't like that from Koshy.
I think he did, but it was all okay to miss it.
Yeah, he doesn't. I, like I said, Koshy's, I think that was a little bit of tongue in cheek, to be honest.
No need to say it, Koshy.
But you also know that that's going to happen, don't you? With all of your assistant coaches. Yep. And in my opinion, if your assistant coaches are being asked to get involved in these processes, that's a good thing because it means they're good at their job.
I think so.
You'd be worried if you had five assistants at your club and no one had any interest in them. Don't you reckon? I think it's a good thing.
My point about that is, and I know what you're saying there, Duck, about the lighthearted nature, but he knows what he's doing in a live TV moment, and he knows that we're going to pick it up, and he wants us to pick it up, which is what we're doing today. But if that footy club has an issue with one of its own presenting for an invitation to an interview elsewhere, Jim, well, how do they go about getting Scott Lysett last year? How do they go about poaching Tom Rockliffe prior to that?
Every club can't
have it both ways. You just have to, I think, deal with the situation. And if you don't like it, I think you've just got to cop it.
But there's also reality involved in all of this too. I spoke to someone about this the other week. If Sean McManus was the coach of North Melbourne, let's say, and had won a flag, and then Freo were out of, Freo sacked their coach, if you're involved in the board or the administration at North Melbourne, how ridiculously naive would you be if you didn't think Matthew Pavlich was going to pick up the phone and say, Sean, you got any interest in doing our job? I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
In every situation, that's going to happen.
Mm.
So how do people get up in arms about that call being made by anyone in any situation? It's always going to occur.
I don't think most do.
Yeah, it's stupid if you do.
Koshy has. And
Bill, well, it's just an analogy, but whoever it is.
It's an interesting name you plucked.
I'd like to work with it.
Yeah, sure. I'm thinking Sean.
Just because he's a past Freo player.
Just on the coaching front, for those who didn't catch up with it, Luke Beveridge has now recommitted to the Dogs right through until the end of 2023. He was already contracted for next year.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
What's that got to do with it?
I'm being facetious.
He was already contracted for next year. either has or would have received some form of approach from the Saints, who are pretty keen to go wide and deep in their search, Bill. So the connection there being a former player, and again, I wouldn't be surprised if a call had been made at those preliminary stages of that.
Ross Lyon is the fascinating one for me, Purple, because he is coming into the final year of a contract, and in 2019, footy clubs don't allow a coach that they want to keep to get into the final year of a deal.
That's what happens if you want to keep the coach, but given they've already gone prematurely in the eyes of many, Jim, in recontracting Ross Lyon as they did 4 years ago for a long-term deal, and that it has not worked out within the time frame of that new arrangement, he will be going into that last year without the security of a year beyond it. And that's just the simple situation.
So then if one of these clubs who want a coach want him, he has got to realistically say to the Dockers, if you're not going to recommit to me, and that's your choice, by the way, then I've got to be able to have these discussions.
But the problem I think he's got right now is that these clubs who are after a new coach aren't after.
Oh, well, that's a different...
Yeah, and that's why I think... Fremantle, which one, Bill?
Carlton.
Could Ross
I'm not sure about that.
Could he go back to St Kilda?
I'm not sure about that. No.
It's a completely different place to when he...
Yeah, it is. It is. And, Bill, I know there's some talk about him having a potential arrangement with the Blues. I don't know. I'm not reading it one bit.
If he got offered a five-year deal, Fremantle aren't, and he's got a history in this before...
Yeah, but why would you offer him a deal at that of that magnitude?
Well, that's what it'd have to be. Get him. That's all.
I don't think he's had a good 4 years.
No, I'm with you.
I mean, I know he made a grand final in 13, a very high final in 15, a prelim final. Yeah. But it hasn't been a good patch since, and no club would be offering him a 5-year deal right now. And my information is that the Carlton team are not interested in him. I mean, I know other people in the media say that he will be an option. So, I'm not seeing.
So
that
leading that, bud, is Voss at the minute, is he? Is that what you're hearing?
We've known for some time that he's going to get a look in. Brad Scott will get a look in at the Carlton team as well, and St Kilda.
Well, no, it's Voss, Shaw, Scott. They're your three coaches, they tell me. Last night, just scuttlebutt.
Lock him in.
Voss
at Carlton. Shaw at North.
Scott.
Scott at, okay.
We'll bring this out, Jim. All right, Bill. My predictions haven't been great.
They've been very poor. So we're not really sort of holding our breath on that
just
one.
Just in case, Jace. Just keep that.
And Ratten is going to present nicely with the St Kilda situation, given he's now got a six-week runway to remind people that he once was a senior coach. And regardless of result, he could go 0-6. He will still be granted the courtesy of a full interview process when that time frame comes for him to present for St Kilda.
Geelong finish on top of the ladder. Yes. Finish a couple of games clear, Jim. Maybe on top of the ladder. Where do they play their first final?
Depends who it's against. It's most likely going to be at this venue, the MCG, but there is a scenario if it's a lesser drawing team, possibly GWS, that falls in line with
Brisbane?
Brisbane would be another one.
They'd play that game in Geelong if it was Brisbane, you reckon?
Quite possibly.
Well, they should.
They won't commit to that, by the way, because there's deals.
A lot of Brisbane supporters with Fitzroy and all that.
There are.
Yeah.
I've come around to this Geelong thinking to a point. I never did. I've done a 180 on it, Duck. I always felt that they should be playing out here. But I've probably got the view now, if the AFL is signing off on a venue as a home ground for a team, that should be qualification enough for it to be a home final under a certain circumstance.
Given that Geelong play a little bit of footy at the MCG during the year.
So tomorrow is their fifth game at the G.
Fifth, okay. So five games. I don't see I get why. I mean, they've clearly got a home ground advantage down there. But the grand final and the other big, and if it is a big team played here, so why have that game there? I'd be more than happy if I was Geelong to be playing on the MCG.
The only thing I said the other day on the Rush Hour, Duck, is if we are going to do this again, and I suspect we are, in other words, Geelong will play a home final at the MCG against either Richmond or Collingwood at their home ground, just call it as it is. So if you're Gill in the AFL, just say it is 100% for revenue reasons.
Spot on.
It's not about how many people can get in and watch. It's how much money we can make out of that day.
So
I mean, Purple.
You're right.
It is 100% about revenue.
So the Cats finished two games clear.
Just call it.
And they play Richmond or Collingwood, what Jim's saying, at Richmond or Collingwood's home ground. That's not fair.
And if you want to go a step further, Bill, the past two grand finals have been hosted at, obviously, this venue, involving with teams that were the higher-ranked team. I mean, Adelaide 2 years ago was a higher-ranked team on that day.
Yeah.
On that day.
And they're playing on Richmond.
As West Coast was. Yeah.
But the grand final I don't have such an issue with. I think we've missed a trick as a comp, because I would love to take the grand final around Australia and just completely stamp AFL footy as the game of this country. Mm. But we're not. We're locked here forever. But it's that final situation that I think is just, you know, just theoretically wrong.
Yep.
But if you're going to do it, just call it. Explain why you're doing it. Yep. Because all of the revenue from finals goes to the AFL, and they want 70,000 here because that'll make them a hell of a lot more money than 30 will at Geelong.
Well, Sydney had to put up with it with the ANZ.
Yep.
They had to play games out there because of the crowd. And let's not forget, GWS played a prelim only, 3 years ago up there.
Fair stadium.
Because they finished higher than the Bulldogs, obviously.
Oh, the lawn bowls. He's gone the drive. Missed the lot.
Jack High.
Come on, Jack High. Oh, Rob Perella. I'll tell you what we're doing. Yeah, that's a shot bowl. Ford Ranger, by the way, the truck that never gives less than it's all. We are here because that truck, work smarter, play harder, is the ute for our family. Now, we've got Ken Hinckley coming up shortly with you.
Yep.
But we've got an untold story from the AFL-VFL, and this involves one of our own from the West. Duck, take
yes, over. And I'll tell you how this came about, guys. So I was getting on a plane last week over to Perth and just sort of waddled on there as I do. Anyway, Bill, I don't waddle any further than row two.
Yeah.
Because I when you got the small aircraft, row one, JB.
No, you got no leg room.
Well, you've got the bulkhead.
Exactly.
You can't put your feet under.
With you. So
always get row two. Yeah. And
who's this story about?
On that flight.
You, is it? Untold story about Duck.
Shush, this is how it came about. This got what?
Can
got
we
me
do
thinking.
An untold story about you?
This is what got me thinking, Bill. So anyway, I'm in row two, and the Collingwood boys, not the whole team,
right,
but just about half the team. Half the team had already got over there. So I sit in my class, 2D, my seat, sorry, 2D, and then the Collingwood, they're all walking past, just sort of nodding, and three boys stopped, and you guess who they would have been?
Right.
Three of the absolute stars. Who do you think?
Oh, well, Jordan DeGoey would have been there, Duck, I would have thought.
DeGoey
who didn't
there.
Know who you were?
DeGoey was there. Treloar sits next to me. We didn't say a word to one another. Side bottoms sits there. So you've got three of the absolute superstars from Collingwood. So it got me thinking, and I'd heard this rumour years ago, so I did a little bit of investigating because way back in 2010, the Hawks are travelling to Frio to play them in a final, big final, right? So, you know, back then, I'd probably would have been Virgin, I'd say, Virgin Airline.
Virgin, magnificent.
And only so many business class seats get given out. That's what got me thinking, Bill, because Collingwood, just a few of them were in business.
Well, get on.
So I just did a little bit of investigating, rang around, and I just heard this rumour that they're heading over to this big final, but there was only 14.
Big build up to the
only 14 business class seats. So not everyone in the team was going to. So what would you expect?
Yep.
Like I'm saying, you'd probably go through the
rough and buddy. And
now I'm led to believe.
Duck, we've established there's not many business class seats. Get on with it.
The team manager. Don't stir me up, Dave.
Hey, standing over, Domo.
The team manager.
Get on with it.
Stands there and he goes, you, Brick Ladson, you, Stephen Gillam, you, Tom Murphy, you, Wade Skipper. All business class.
Oh, no.
And in between those three, there's one of our very own, used to be Triple M, very own on Channel 7.
Yes.
Campbell Brown. And he gets pointed at the economy.
Oh.
Now, in that group was Xavier Ellis, right?
Ex.
Who, yes.
The nightclub specialist.
Doing a very good job over there at Channel 7.
So
I want him to take us through exactly what happened and then the ramifications, because we know Brownie's got a little bit of a hot head.
Yes.
So I want to know whether this rumour, this untold story, has any truth to it at all. So, Xavier, can you fill us in?
Yeah, absolutely, Duck, and you're almost spot on the money. There was actually about 16 to 18 seats, so even worse for Brownie. But we got to the airport, and it's finals time, and obviously Hawthorn are ramping it up a bit, so they've gone from four business class seats to three quarters of the team. And the footy manager, as you said, has gone around and barred and rough and Hodge, and all the big dogs are, you know, waddling around with their business class tickets, and Brownie's just been handed his and didn't really look at it, just made the assumption, and he always reminds us that he was an All-Australian, made the assumption he'd be in business, but as we were sitting in the Virgin Lounge, he sort of had his coffee and looked down and it said something like 55J or whatever it was.
Yes.
Anyway, Brownie just sort of stood up and, if you know Brownie, gets those shoulders up around his ears and gets quite angry, and he just walks up to the front bench at Virgin and says, look, there's obviously been a small error here. I'm Campbell Brown. I'm pretty sure I should be in the business end of the flight. And the Virgin lady took her time and went through it. And and came back to him and said, unfortunately, Campbell, there's no more seats at in the business end. You've got to take that seat. And she finished mid, but you've got an emergency exit, though, so you'll be happy with that. Which for me, who was a Barry Butler, the emergency exit was like business class. But Danny's got on the flight, and we're sitting there early. And as you said, those names were turning left, the Renouf's, the Tom Murphy's, the White Crosses. And Brownie started to absolutely boil. Yeah. He punched his armrest that hard. I thought I was going to have my Stephen May moment before Stephen May even had his time. And he told me, don't say a word, he said to me. And as the lady was giving us the exit row instructions, and are you happy to help out, Brownie stuck his neck out like a turtle and could see straight down the aisle. Brett Renouf was swirling his complimentary orange juice around his bar.
Brett Renouf.
And I kid you not, Brownie looked at me and said, why do I have to sit with the shit players? That's what he said to me. I kid you not. The whole way over, so for 3 hours, he's telling me, I've never been involved in more of a divided team. This team can't go anywhere. This is split the team in half. This is ridiculous. And I kept thinking the whole way, Brownie, if you were sitting in business class, you wouldn't care about the shit.
Exactly.
So it doesn't really split us up too much. But anyway, he's furious and said, we can't win. We may as well go home. This is stupid. Can't believe the footy club has put us in this situation. We get on the bus. Sits by himself, puts his bag on the seat next to him, so no one's allowed near him. Anyway, so you let him go. We get to the hotel, and a similar sort of process. The team manager's at the hotel, and he goes, you know, Franklin, your room, level 15, up he goes to the penthouse area, Roughhead, Mitchell's, gets down to the last two of us, and there was no individual room. It was Alice and Brown, and let's just say there was no need for us to take the lift. We were up one flight of stairs to get out of the spare room. Where they were good enough to give us two queen beds, but they were touching.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're fuming all day. We get rolled by Fremantle, get absolutely smashed. Brownie, I'm telling you, quarter time, half time, he's yelling, I told you this would happen. I told you. Anyway, we finish up, and he's, I kid you not, the next morning he gets on his phone, punches the 04, da 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 da. G'day, Bluey McKenna speaking. He said, Bluey, it's too dysfunctional here. I'm coming to the Gold Coast.
Very good.
Well told.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Nice.
Did
Zav get the emergency seat
true.
Also?
yeah, mate. I was emergency.
You would have
no
needed
about
it.
That.
Oh, you need it.
Oh, I tell you what, Billy, a wise man once said to me, you can be fat or bald, don't be both.
Hey! Score over you,
fat. Well done. Beautifully
done. Hey, X, while we've got you, you were a Norm Smith medalist to halftime.
He was.
Weren't you? You would acknowledge that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Steve Hocking and see what he can do. Steve can sort it out for me. But it was a good time back in those days.
Oh, bloody oath it was. And you're dominating over there doing the Brekkie Radio?
Yeah, doing the Brekkie Radio, the better half and kidder down south for the weekend. So Brekkie Hours and a baby, I'll tell you what, I might not leave too much in the tank over the weekend.
And doing great work on the boundary for Channel 7.
Yeah,
so
Channel
just
7.
Fly, you airborne, X.
Yeah, I am airborne, I'll tell you that. No, I'm enjoying everything. Everything's going well and I'm having a fair bit of fun.
Good man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
mate. You lads. Have a good day.
Yeah, the nightclub specialist, Xavier Ellis, he needed help at the club, and we were honest with him about it, but, you know, back in the day, because there were some boys at that joint, Bud being the main one,
yeah.
And Gibb and a few of the others who were, you know, probably going to drag a fair bit of attention. And X just had to sidle in next to them and hope.
You calling him that cat made him have a stigma, Jim.
Somehow something had fallen his way. And it didn't often happen.
Sully, Sully helped him.
And Sully, there were some boys there that he just had to learn the craft. And it was the same back in the 90s at Arden Streets. Blokes just got to know where to position themselves. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, welcome back to the MCG. It's Richmond and Port Adelaide. Big, big game for both sides. Billy Brownless here down on the boundary line. You got Duck upstairs. You got Jim upstairs. You got Damo. But it all happens down here on the boundary line. I've got the coach of Port Adelaide, Ken Hinckley, who was also co-captain of the Geelong Footy Club in 1995. I played with Ken. I love playing with Ken. Ken, how are you? How are you feeling, mate? Because you're under the pump.
Yeah, I'm not under the pump. I'm having some fun with you, Bill. And I just did notice Dusty run on the ground, so I'm a bit flat about that. So he's probably going to be out there.
Because I think you were going to terrorise him today, weren't you?
Yeah, I get in trouble whatever I say. So I think we're going to play gentlemanly football all day today and wish the Tigers all the very best.
Now, well said, Ken, because it is a huge game for yourselves. Did you get it wrong last week, Kenneth?
Yeah, we got smashed. We got smashed on the scoreboard, so we got it wrong for sure, but we didn't get all the other stuff. I mean, we go out to play the same way every week, and we try to be aggressive football club, but I'd be staggered if we're not one of 18 that try to play that way. And, you know, at round one, funnily enough, here at the MCG, yeah, we were given the pats on the back for being aggressive and young and bold, and, you know, last week we got it wrong. The scoreboard said we got it really wrong.
Right. How do you explain, Kenneth? Explain the win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. How do you explain that, mate?
That's really challenging for everyone to explain. And, you know, we know some of our good football is capable against the very best teams in the comp, which we're up against today. So we're going to have to be near that. So but we just keep working, Bill, and we don't have an easy explanation other than our midfield. When we struggle, our midfield don't give us enough of the ball that we need and the quality of ball we need. And that's our challenge, is that we can't afford not to be that side at the moment that gets enough of the footy in our front half.
Bloody frustrating. Frustrating for you, the players, but also the fans, isn't it? You feeling that?
Yeah, fans absolutely frustrated, but, you know, I say this all the time, no one gets more frustrated, and we all know that we've been involved with the game, that more disappointed than anyone than the people inside the footy club. We get what it means to everyone, and we get what it means to us.
And you're a caring man. You were as a player, a very loose player, by the way, but you're a caring man. How do you go at home and things like that? Because it must affect you.
Yeah, no, it annoys you. It doesn't affect you. Yeah, it makes you a bit grumpy for the week. It makes you a little bit unhappy. But, you know, the beauty of the game, we get to do it again today and we get to move on. And, you know, we're lucky. I'm so lucky to get to do what I do. Some parts of it I don't like and don't enjoy as much as others. But overall, I love what I do.
Some good ins today. Some big outs, but unfortunately, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. It's quite crazy the way it works. You know, last time we played the Tigers in Adelaide, they were dealing with the big outs. Today, it seems the roles have reversed a little bit. So I hope we can reverse the roles on the scoreboard too.
Righto, boys. Kenneth is here, ready for you.
Hey, Ken, love the re-signing of the young kids in the last little while. Dersmer, Rosie and Butters have got so much to offer your footy club. I want to focus with this question a bit on Rosie and Butters. Unbelievably talented young players, but got a fair bit of swagger and a fair bit of voice and a fair bit of that. How do you, as their coach, handle that? Do you say, look, go with it, but there's got to be respect, or do you just let them have their head? How do you handle those two boys?
Yeah, no, look, but Jim, to be fair, both boys have got an enormous amount of respect, so they play with the right attitude when it's on the footy field. They're a little bit bruise-free at the moment, so they get out there and they just do what they do and they have fun doing it. Now, they're still playing like they are playing almost under 18 football, but I encourage them to stay in that space because I reckon this game will swallow them up at some stage, and that swagger or that bit of enthusiasm that they go with at the moment, it'll probably disappear out of their game. I hope it doesn't.
Ken, you and others in the footy department clearly signed off on Michael Voss flying to Melbourne to have an interview with the Blues. The chairman of the club, David Koch, had other views on it. What did you make of that?
Look, I think it's pretty simple, Damo, and without spending much time on it, Koshy, and I heard the comments, Koshy was a little tongue-in-cheek as well, but we all understand, and I've said this a number of times in the last 3 days, that the industry yet hasn't quite figured out the right way that we can and can't do this. I've been a part of it, I've been involved in it. So if we're going to jump up and down about it, we're being a bit silly because the industry itself hasn't figured out how to do it. David, in his absolute right, and we all believe that, not just David, me included, that the best thing is to have little disruption to the club you're working with. But we all know that people who get promoted in this industry come from other clubs. That's just the way it is. We haven't figured out a better way to do it, and until we do, we have to stick with what we know.
Yeah, Kenny, I agree with you. I thought it was a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. You're not allowed to smile anymore, by the way, so just make sure no smiling or anything like that today in the box. I want to ask you about Richmond. Do you have to play differently against the Tigers, especially bringing the ball out of your back half?
Yeah, well, Wayne, they're a real challenge, and their ability with the ball is as good as anyone. I think they've got plus 4,000 metres handball chain than any other team in the competition, which is outrageously ridiculous. So you go, that's going to be a challenge for us to control their ball movement. But importantly with that is that when we get to use the ball, we know what their small forwards are like. They've got an enormous amount of pressure, and we typically want to take the game on. And I don't think we can go away from that. I don't think we can be frightened of that. We've just got to be prepared for a couple to go the wrong way at times.
That's what I mean by that. When you're coming out of your back half, so you're trying to clear the footy, those rush kicks often go straight back to them, or if you overhandball it, they take it off you.
Yeah, they do, and that's why they've been a great side over the last two or three years, and that's probably why they're building their momentum as they are now. They are a high-quality side, but for us, we've just got to be who we are, and what we are is a bit bold, a bit risky, and at times we're probably going to wear one.
Do your players get as excited coming here as everyone else does?
Yeah, absolutely do. We got a chance to train here yesterday, which was even exciting for the boys to, you talk about those young boys before they get to walk out on the G the day before the game, and they feel it. They're Victorians, two out of the three, and they enjoy being here. Every team does enjoy it. And we were walking over yesterday, Jimmy, and we were talking, the coaches through from different states and go, yeah, it is the home of footy, isn't it, the G? It just feels something special.
As we let you go, Bill describing you as being a very loose player, is that a bit rich, Ken, given how Bill went about it?
Well, I'm not sure. I think it's pretty accurate. I mean, I used to introduce myself to my player at the start of the game, and I'd say goodbye at the end of the game. That was the only time we crossed paths. I was a really courageous player myself.
No, you weren't. Fair dinkum. I can't believe he stands up there and goes, you've got to be hard, you've got to be courageous. If you ever saw Kenneth, fair dinkum.
Hang on, I got to have a reply. Yes. Bill was as soft as they come,
yeah,
boys.
That's what we wanted.
Speaking of who is hard and loves himself down here, Chadwick Corns, one of the assistants. Have a look at Chadwick. Doesn't he look good?
Yeah, I'm a little confused, though, because he just said to me, Razor Ray Chamberlain's one of his best mates. So that's a surprise, isn't it? With good building of relationships by Chad, but he does like the look at himself.
Oh, he does. And you've got some good assistant coaches here who are part of the club, which we like. What's the big fellow who looks like the mascot, the chin?
You can tell Brogues that yourself.
Yeah, Gene Brogan.
He's a good fella, Brogues.
Yeah, so it's good. And I'll tell you what, there's about three or four people from the club just listening to this interview. They're worried about what you're going to say, I reckon, Kenneth.
Yeah, they do worry about me because I do say some stupid things sometimes, but who cares? I'm going to be who I am, and I'm going to have a bit of fun.
Yeah, the mascot's not happy. Rogue's not happy here. Look at him.
I think he's going to come over and clobber you.
All right, we're going to go, boys. We're going to go. Yeah.
Well done, Ken. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
good luck.
Ken.
Well done.
Good on you, boys.
Very upbeat.
What's that, Fat?
Very upbeat, Ken Hinckley, which is great. He's got a smile, mate, and he's here to win. Don't worry about that. So I hope he wins, my old former teammate.
For Bob Jane T-Mart's, Bill's down there on the boundary. Bob Jane T-Mart's, by the way, hurry in. Buy three, get one free on selected Bridgestone, Dunlop and Hankook tyres. I think it was you the other day, Duck, that quoted someone as saying they've never seen a mirror they haven't enjoyed. That's Chadwick Corn. I've never come across a man who's so enamored with his own appearance as Chadwick, and especially as he's got older, he hasn't had to worry so much about skin folds and things, so he's just bulking. Yes. He's just getting larger and larger. We got Bill back up from speaking to a very upbeat Ken Hinckley.
Exactly right, Jim. I like that. He's up and about. And just some of the boys, Robbie Gray, do we realise how good he is? Because
I think we do, Bill.
I
know what you're saying, but I think we do, yeah.
And, mate, I tell you, it's cold down there on the boundary and a bit of a breeze down there.
What I like too, Bill, was it would have been so easy for Ken Hinckley to say to his media department this week, I'm going to ground on game day.
Yeah.
And he thought, I'm going to come out and just have a bit of fun.
So a few people from the club got around, and then a bloke's come out, and he's obviously the boss of, I don't know, communication there.
Yep.
And he's put on the headphones behind Ken and was listening. And you could just see the three of them standing there thinking, what's he going to say or whatever. So it was very, very interesting. They're keeping tabs on Kenny there to see what he was going to say. But he was up and about and happy to talk about it. And I did say, look, we're going to ask you about, obviously, what's going on there. He said, mate, I've been talking about it all week, but happy to have a chat to you. So good on you, Kenneth.
What are we seeing on Instagram here, Bill?
What's that, mate?
Is this your son, Oscar?
Yeah.
What's he wearing?
No, that's me.
Got a Triple M footy Insta?
That's me.
Well, what's he dressed as?
What are you doing? No, that's me, Dopey.
What do you mean that's you?
Oh, dressed as Thor. You're Thor.
Is that you? So Oscar's put it up, has he? Is that how we've...
Yeah, Oscar's put it up.
Why are you looking like that?
Well, I've got a fancy dress party tonight.
Have you? And you're going as Thor.
I'm going as Thor.
You're Thor.
Mark Simmons, who's Simmons Holmes, of course, and he's got a nice...
No, Bill, you've got one of those Thor that makes you look really muscly.
Well, what are you laughing at that for, Duck? I'll give you a laugh.
So it just squishes everything in.
Yes.
It makes you look muscular.
Hmm.
Fancy dress.
Oh, boy.
That'll be good. I'm looking forward
to it. Got a lot of trickery going on
let's
there.
Let's see what Thor can do tonight.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Damo, some news we didn't do with you last time.
I would have thought no good.
Oh, Duck.
Duck, please.
Jesse Hogan?
Yeah, Jesse Hogan. It's a worry, isn't it, now? For the second consecutive year, he's had a season-ending foot injury, and it's the same
stadium.
Vicular.
Oh, no.
Well, Bill...
It's got to be.
It may well be. I mean, look, he went across to Fremantle with the problem.
They said it wasn't. They said it wasn't.
Of course they said it wasn't, but I mean, it's... Say again?
Clubs lie. Yeah, clubs lie.
I'm not saying that it is absolutely the cause of it, but I don't think a hard stadium would have helped his cause when you're trying to return from a navicular. When you've had two, it unfortunately then does have you in the conversation. There's now no guarantees with it, and it's been a real battle for Jesse now, and it's a worry because of the investment Fremantle made. It's a worry because of this elite talent now in consecutive seasons has been forced to step aside.
Well, the day we watched him out here when he got out injured, he didn't want to go back on. They kept sending him back out saying...
It's a really good point.
And not once.
Yep.
Not twice. I reckon three or four times they sent him back out. He kept trying.
And then?
They took him down into the rooms. He came back out. He tried again and again. And
we went with the navicular,
yes,
didn't we, up here. Yeah. And they said, no, it's not navicular.
I was going to say, they then made sure they put out a statement saying it's unrelated to the previous problem.
And you know, once again, we're looking from afar, but it looked to me as if the doctor was almost saying, mate, and I don't know whether it was a doctor actually, but someone... Mm. In charge of what he was going through the test, was saying to him, mate, you're right. Just get out there and push through it. And clearly, that was the wrong thing.
Nick Natanui, while we're talking about this sort of thing?
Yeah, there's a waiting game now for him. Syndesmosis, which you refer to a lot, Jim, in that way you do. Waiting now just to try and get him over the worst of it, and in the pure hope of not having the surgery, which it may otherwise need, to have him back. But you've got to wonder now. He came back for the three games, having missed a year and 2 weeks on the or short of 2 weeks on the knee of last year, which is the second knee. So, look, I thought his return was just the absolute icing on the cake for their defence of the flag. But you'd have to wonder now, given he's gone down again so quickly.
Yeah, it's a real shame, isn't it? Mm. Because clearly, you know, you know what influence he can have. I will say, and once again, from afar, they know better than me. And Lee Matthews brought this up. He's such a big guy, so much power. Mm. And when he comes down, there's so much force going through those areas, the exact areas that he's having problems with. I just wonder if he was to, you know, lose 5 or 10, whether that would help him, actually, whether that takes away the way he plays. Because he's a beast and he he obviously has to have strength in the body-to-body stuff.
Mm.
But I just wonder whether that would help.
Yep.
I don't know. But
speaking about losing weight.
Might as well start with Mitch McGovern. Yeah. Nice, Jim. It's strange, isn't it, that you can get to round 18 and the club can then go quite public with the problem that he's got, as in his condition is poor. So this has been a constant issue for Mitch. It was an issue before he got to Carlton. They gave up a lot for him to go to the club. He was underdone in the off-season. Clearly, the coach at that stage needed everything up and running, and they've tried to persevere with it, but now they're happy to make a public statement that he's got to get himself
good
on professional.
Wrote about this on Friday. You obviously didn't read it.
I didn't read it, sorry.
But basically, I reckon he's flushing his career down the toilet. That's what I
did see that quote
and,
said.
And the fact that...
Financial review. Where do you write it?
And I'll tell you what, the other thing that the clubs have to realise is that when we sit up here in our box, and it's very easy up here, but we make assumptions and we have opinions on what information they give us. So if they now tell us that it's a fitness reason, right, then there's no way you can play in a week. I don't care how good the fitness guy is. There's no way he's getting him fit in a week. So if it comes back in a week, then it wasn't a fitness thing. It was an attitude thing. So tell us it's attitude.
Well, it is, yeah.
Tell us it's fitness. If it's fitness, it's got to be at least 4 weeks. You can't get fit in a week.
Is he playing at the right end of the ground?
Well,
no. I think he is. That's where he made his name.
I'd play him down back.
And a big tick to David T to have the, you know what?
Yeah, I agree.
Bang, see you later. By the way, should have done it 4 weeks ago.
Well, no, 12 weeks ago.
Yeah, because I've seen him play games this year where he's just looked disinterested.
Yeah.
And so I totally agree. This is a guy
but he's
got unbelievable talent. The other thing, Bill, he's got his brother had similar things. His brother lost a heap of weight. His brother's now three-time All-Australian.
Four.
Played with basically broken ribs in the grand final, played really well. Now you've got a guy that's got just as much talent, got all of this going on, and he gets little niggles and he can't train. He either wants to be an AFL footballer or not. Mm. Or this is just, he's 24.
Yep.
This is just going to go whoosh. All of a sudden he'll be 27, 28, and he'll would have done nothing.
And only had the 46 games to his name before he got to Carlton from four.
And I like him. And I think it was it you that nicknamed him Gecko Hoot?
Yeah, Gecko Mitz.
Gecko Mitz.
No, was actually my girlfriend, partner,
yeah.
Lisa.
Yeah, yeah, that's Lisa. Right. So, and by the way, spot on. But guess the Gecko, they've lost their stickiness. Yeah.
But I'm convinced, Duck, that he's at the wrong end of the ground. I don't reckon he's a natural forward. I reckon his brother plays brilliantly as an intercept third up defensive marker. And they've now got Charlie Curnow, McKay, and Big Levi if they want to throw him. They've got enough forward of the ball. I don't know. I'd love to have David Teague in this
conversation. Can you have him and Jones?
Yeah, because they're different players. Jones is a lock-off across, and he could float across.
Which is why, though, this guy, who's clearly got a lot of talent. Potential, that ugly word, potential. What, that's why he should be dominating, because he's got those other guys there that take the key defenders.
But, Duck, you know this, and Bill, you know this better than anyone in this conversation. You've got to know what you're doing forward of the ball, I reckon. Hmm. You instinctively know what you're doing.
And where to
don't.
Move.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier to play down.
Yeah, of course. And he doesn't look like he's an instinctive forward to me. But whereas his brother, and I'm not saying he has to be the same as his brother, but his brother's amazing third up intercept marker.
Reads it.
I don't know why. I'd love David Teague to be answering this question. Why don't you do the same with him? Because he looked like he'd be more comfortable doing it.
It is watch his space, though.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, if he comes back after 1 week, then they've lied to us again.
Yeah. Sean Burgoyne's about to turn 37, Bill, in October.
Is he going to be a son?
I wanted to raise it for that reason. Hawthorn is still now in discussion about him going into their season as a Hawk. But I'm not convinced that having the Luke Hodge style of person on that Suns list is going to be the panacea that I think a lot of people think.
And what about if there's two of them or three of them?
But okay, if there's three of them, Bill, that goes totally against what they've tried to do in the past year, and that is to give game time to the future. And if you're having three spots out of the 22 taken up by players who are clearly
they
in their last or
dinosaurs.
Second last.
They need mature players, not dinosaurs. Well,
but they had a mature player in Jared Lyons and shipped him out.
Yeah, I know, which is clearly
and there's other mature players on the list already who they're just choosing not to
George
play.
George Hall and Smith and these guys that they picked up, they have tried that. I reckon they tried two or three. I know what you're saying, but they're not going to go any worse. And they really need them there, just not for the game day, for training and to get them how to train, proper habits, to do the right thing. And I just think it'll work.
Damo, as we wind this segment up, because we've got the preview coming next, massive game starts at about 4:30 today.
Yeah.
The GWS Giants, Duck, have got to almost poop or get off the pot. I reckon. They have almost got to. Like, you just look at them and go, well, what are they, this mob? What is this window going to go? And are they going to miss the chance to win a flag with this amazing list? Or are they going to stand up against Collingwood today at home and make a start?
Well, it's a massive game for them. Look, they've had no luck. And there's other clubs that have had no luck as well, but they get a star back, they lose a star. I mean, They've got some real quality players out. If you think back to their finals, prelim, Ward gets injured. The year later, I think it was Scheel with the knock with Cochin. So all of these little things have gone against them in big finals. They could have arguably been in two grand finals. They haven't. So, like I said, it takes luck. I still think they've got the talent to play, obviously, finals this year. But this is a massive test because I don't think Collingwood are in great form. I know they won last week.
West Coast.
They were 19 points down at three-quarter time, and they had a big last quarter.
And there.
So does that make them back in good form? We're about to find out.
And a big out. They got a big out today.
Two massive outs.
Phil Davis.
Keep saying, last night, there were so many question marks around those two teams last night, and a few got answered.
Yep.
Crows.
Well, I see this game today.
A few got, and the same thing. A few are going to get answered in that game.